Well, perfect setup for our next segment. Labor unions and the pensions that their rank and file receive are at the center of a growing and often fierce debate in many states. Still, there are a number of misconceptions about state debt and state pension systems, like whether or not pension benefits pose a financial threat to states across the United States. So what we need is a reality check. Joining us to help do that, Véronique Desrougies. She's senior fellow at the Mercatus Center. And Véronique, let's kick it off with your first myth, because this is something we've talked about a lot here at Bloomberg. Myth number one, states' pensions don't represent an immediate threat, that there is no crisis. We've done a lot of reporting that maybe that's not true, but you say the fact is some states' pensions could actually run out by 2017. And to help illustrate that, we've got a chart looking at New Jersey, my home state, their real liabilities.
Yes, so this data is from a study by my colleague Eileen Norcross. And on the left, I guess, you have what the states report its unfunded liability is. And they are using government accounting standards, which assume expected rate of return of 8%, which is annually, which is really high, right? And what Eileen and other economists have said is that these are very unrealistic rate of return to actually really be able to assess the true market value of this liability. And when you use what private sector forecasts do, you end up with a liability of $173 billion.
Many times.
So that's just in New Jersey. When you take it nationwide, you go from, you know, unfunded liability reported of $450 billion to roughly $3.5 trillion. And so with the accounting techniques, you have states like New Jersey, for instance, who will run out of money by 2017. But when you actually use and look at really what their total liability is and when they will run out of money, it could be as soon as 2013.
Much closer.
And you say also that there's a myth that state debts are accurate depictions of their liabilities and the government won't let them default. And of course, a lot of people generally think like this. The fact, though, you say, is that most states underestimate their actual debt, since a lot of the government pension liabilities are off the books, which a lot of people don't know.
Yes. So, like, you know, if you're an investor, usually you're going to get look at the bond market. And with this chart, I'm taking you to Connecticut, and because that's where the data was the most available. And what you see here is that the reported debt, the bond plus the deficit, which is the top and the bottom line, right, is roughly $23 billion. To this, which is less clearly reported, is roughly $48 billion of unfunded liability. But to that, economists tell you, you have to add another $28 billion to represent the true market value of the unfunded liability. And now you go from $23 billion of debt to roughly $100 billion of debt in Connecticut alone.
It's kind of staggering to me. Why isn't this kind of out there?
I think it is, but, you know, there's, it is, but people just don't necessarily look at the whole picture.
Right.
And so.
All right, let's talk about another myth. Myth number three, state and local workers aren't overpaid and changing compensation wouldn't make a difference. You say the fact is, due to generous benefits, state and local compensation packages can actually trump those in the private sector. We've got a couple of charts to talk about this. One of them looks at Ohio, annual costs of state and private employees in Ohio. Let's bring it up.
So I got that data from the Buckeye Institute, because they were really early on. They put all the salaries of public and workers and private workers. And this chart, what you see is basically you follow workers over time and the cost of their total compensation. And you see the white line, that public employees start higher, but the cost of their compensation goes up and diverge further from the private sector as their career moves along.
This is a forecast, obviously, out of 2050.
This is a forecast when you follow. And the thing you have to also understand is, like, you know, bureaucrats, I mean, there are a lot of baby boomers who are bureaucrats and are going to retire. There's going to be many more of them, right? And then the promises that have been made in the last 20 years are way more generous than they were in the past.
We heard Callie talking about other economists taking this apart in different ways and looking at it differently.
Yeah.
You have a chart also that shows the share of employers that are white collar.
So that chart I got from the New York Times, which showed they had a whole bunch of charts showing the excess in compensation, and they said these comparisons, comparing public and private employees' compensation can be hard, especially if you want to take under consideration the degrees, the diploma. And it's true that private sector employees on average have fewer diplomas, so we're expecting them to be paid To be paid less. But for instance, go back to the Ohio case. It doesn't explain the on average 220% difference.
The difference.
Right? It can, and by the way, with the data that we saw before, they don't, that, and in the segment before, doesn't take really under consideration the pension compensation. Mm. That's what really makes the big difference.
Let's talk quickly about pension underfunding, because a lot of people think it's a result of the financial crisis. That's the myth. You say that the fact is many states had already fallen behind on their pension funding before the Great Recession, if you want to call it that.
Well, so in a Pew Research Center has a lot of data on state pension, and one of the things that they found is, like, in 2000, right, coming out of, you know, good years in American history, already almost 50% of their states had underfunded their plans. Not very much, but the 50% of their plans had underfunded their plans on average. By 2006, you only had six states who actually had fully funded their pension plan. So basically, this idea that the unfunded liability are only the results of the Depression.
It had already been in the works. We'd already seen signs of it, right?
Well, it's just the problem is, like, mm-hmm. you have states who have to put money aside for their public employees, but then they also want to buy votes. So there's this money laying around, and they're thinking, hey, I could use it for something that's beneficial to me right now. And then you end up with these gaps, which is, this is why I think it is a tricky thing to say, oh, we're just going to cut these benefits. I don't think we should cut these benefits. We should reform the system going forward. But we owe that money to these people.
All right. Good stuff. Veronique, thank you so much. Veronique DeRougy, Senior Research Fellow at the Mercatus Center.